Well, good morning. Welcome to Elgin Evangelical Free Church. I am Pastor Dan. It's good to see you this morning. We had a nice vacation in Florida. Yeah. So we enjoyed it, but it's good to be back. Well, let's pray together. Lord, I thank you so much for this day. Lord, I thank you for just the joy that you give us. And Lord, I pray that as we open your word and as we come to you this morning, Lord, that you would open our eyes. Pray this in your name. Amen. All right. So, open our eyes. On here, I don't know if any of you know what this is, but this is a magic eye, okay? And so, I used to, look at these books all the time when I was younger. And in here is actually, there's an image here. You can look at this, what seemingly looks like nothing, and you can find a picture that pops out at you, all right? And if you look and stare and just kind of look through it, you can find the picture and look through and see a picture that pops out at you. Can anyone see it? We got one. So, yeah, we got two, we got three, we got a few, we got five. There's a few people, another one. But magic eye, right? There's a lot of people that will never be able to see what this is. They've tried over and over and over again, right? So I'll give you a little time now to look at it and try to figure out what it is, and then we'll talk about what it is at the end. But with magic eyes, right, we're able to look at something, and some people can be thinking, what is that? There's nothing there. It's just bunch of colors. I could see little faces and there's Mary and baby Jesus there and, but it's nothing really. And then there's other people who are able to look at it and focus on it and then all of a sudden, pew, it pops out at them and they see the image that is there. They see the true image that is there. So someone will say, well, I can clearly see it. The next person will say, I don't believe you. There's actually no picture. There's no way that there's a picture here, right? And you go through that kind of conversation. And our world can be just like that. Our world can be like that where there are some people who are blinded and can't see what other people can see. There are some people that are able to clearly see something, such as the truth of the gospel. And then there are other people who are blind to it. It just, what? I don't see anything. I don't believe that. And so one person can totally see clearly, another person is blinded. And that's what it's like in our world. There could be one person that is blind to the needs around them, while another person can clearly see needs all around them and seek to meet those needs. There could be someone who is totally blind to their need for a Savior, right? While other clings and understands their need for a Savior. There's all these different things, and today what we're going to talk about and what we're going to look at is the reality that we need to ask God to open our eyes. We need to ask God to open our eyes. Now, I'm not saying open your eyes, because if I said that, then I'm saying you guys can get a bunch of effort, you can do it on your own, you can just pull all this together and then fight through, and then your eyes will be open, you'll be able to see. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we need to ask God to open our eyes and allow Him in His strength and His power to open our eyes to the things around us on what we should be seeing, as opposed to being blinded by everything around us. Now, I'm going through 4 points this morning. There are plenty of ways in which we can ask God to open our eyes to. But we're just going to go through 4, which I suggest that you do this week. So the first is ask God to open your eyes to the beauty of His Word. Ask God to open your eyes to the beauty of His Word. Psalm 119:18 says, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." And there are some people who can open up the Bible and read Scripture and have no idea what it means. Be totally blinded. Think, what is this? What does this mean? I don't get it. There can be some that open this up and think, this is so boring. Why do I have to read this? Or mark it off as homework, right? A lot of times, it's like, oh, it's something I got to do. So I got to get through it. I got to read my chapter today. But there's some that open up the Word of God and they see its beauty. And they are overwhelmed. And they want more and more and more of it. And so they go to His Word daily because their eyes are open to the beauty of His Word. They're able to see clearly how amazing His Word is. You see, we have, how many Bibles do you have? We have one on our phone. Well, as many as we want on our phone. We have maybe one on our computer. We've got our study Bible. We've got our pocket Bible. We've got our previous Bibles that we've used that are now put on a shelf, you know, that we've overused and are kind of beat up and broken, right? So we got like 5, 6, 7 Bibles, some of us. And a lot of times, how do we feel about it? We're not drawn to it like we should be, right? We take it for granted so often that we have the Word of God at our fingertips, that He is speaking to us through His Word, and we just can so often take it for granted. I don't have the video for you, but if you've ever seen it, there's a video on YouTube, and it's a home church in China, and they receive Bibles for the first time. Their reaction, sobbing, joy. They are so excited to be able to have the Word of God. They're drawn to it. They need it. They crave it. And even though there's persecution and they could be killed because of their faith, they're longing for that Word. And then we have access to it at our fingertips 24/7 without worrying about what will happen to us. And we take it for granted. And there could be some of us who don't open the Word for weeks, months, years. And we just leave it and it gets dusty. That's no way to live. We need to ask God to open our eyes to the beauty of His Word, that we would be drawn to it, that we would crave it, that we would desire it each and every day. Psalm 34:8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him." Taste and see. I think of babies. When they taste something for the first time that is just delicious, right? Like you can't get over it. And you want more and more and more of it. I have a video. We tried this yesterday. Emily eating ice cream for the first time. So here's a video. It's kind of sideways.
Here's ice cream for the first time. Do you like it?
What do you think?
Is that good?
Do you want some more?
Oh.
Is it yummy?
Yeah, was that good?
Ice cream, right? That we would treat the Word of God like it's something we crave. And we need to ask God for that. Because if we go in our own effort, in our own life, guess what? We're going to be tempted to neglect the Word of God. To leave it. To go do all sorts of other things as opposed to be in His Word. That's that temptation. Always. And then it's going to be this, Satan doesn't want us to crave His Word, the Word of God, right? He's going to want us to hate it. He's going to want us to think it's the most boring book in the world. Something that we should never enter into. And so this week be praying, Lord, open my eyes to see the beauty of Your Word, that I would crave it, that I would be drawn to it, that I would want to be in Your Word. That's what we need. That's what we need to pray. Secondly, ask God to open your eyes for your need to rely upon Him. Ask God to open your eyes for your need to rely upon Him. Revelation 3:18, this is the seventh letter to the churches in Revelation, to the church of Laodicea. And this is a church that was very wealthy, just like our church here. They had the great banking industry. They had a great clothing industry. They had a great medical industry. And specifically, they had medicine for the eyes so that people could see. And in all of this, what ended up happening is the church of Laodicea was very self-reliant. They thought they had everything. And so who do they rely upon? Themselves, their own money, their own riches, their own wealth, their own clothing, their own fame, all this different thing. All these things were what were building them up. And that's what they clung on for their security. And here's Jesus' response to them. He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. That we are receiving all of our security not from the world and the things of this world, but we are receiving our security from our Savior, from Jesus Christ, and our need to rely upon Him. I think this is one of the places that we, as a church, as the church in the United States of America, struggle with so much. This is a place where, man, we are taught so early in life, you can do it. You got this. Independence. You don't need anyone. You can do this on your own. Right? You're strong. You're talented. Go do it. And yet, what ends up happening is we take that into our life with God. And we think, I'm good. I'm fine. I don't need you. We went to Florida, and Rachel was swimming, but the first part of the week she was just stuck on swimming with mommy or daddy or grandma and grandpa and just clinging to us. Right? She would not leave our side. She was too afraid to leave our side. And so we were always taking her with us wherever we went. It's kind of exhausting. My neck was a little sore. But, you know, every day, you know, over and over and over again, clinging to us and not willing to go out. She had the floaty and everything that she was able to go. So it was not until the last day, the Friday before we left, that all of a sudden she kind of gets to this point where she might almost venture off on her own. So we get to this little tiny water slide, and she's got grandma, and she says to grandma, Grandma, I don't need you. And she gets to the top of the water slide. She's about to go down. She looks down. Grandma, I need you. And so grandma went there, caught her, brought her to the side. We did this so many times. So like this was the highlight of the trip for Rachel. So then it was my turn, and she's like, Daddy, I don't need you. She gets up there. She looks, Daddy, I think I need you. She goes down. I catch her, you know. All right. Then finally, third time's a charm. She gets up, she says, Daddy, I don't need you. And then she goes down, there she is, going down, right into the water, gets back up, goes ahead and swims to the side by herself. Yeah, Rachel, woo, all right, awesome. And she finally, that day, from that point on, gained this independence to where she was swimming all around, all by herself, not thinking about anything, just going around, you know, get water every once in a while in her mouth and have to spit it out or drink it, you know, and just going and going and going. And this, unfortunately, obviously we encourage that. We want her to gain that independence there. But when we do that with the Lord, because Rachel continued to let us know, Grandma, I don't need you. Grandpa, I don't need you. Dad, I don't need you. Mommy, I don't need you. Over and over. She was even telling strangers, I don't need you. I don't need you. Rachel, we get it. We understand. This is cool. Great. Awesome. right? But when we start to do that with the Lord, right? We don't say it, but with our actions, we live it out. I don't need you. Lord, I don't need you. I got this. I got it covered. I'm fine. I have enough security. I have enough built up. I can take care of this. I'm good. Leave it to me. When we start to live like that, wow. In our own strength, we're going to be disappointed every time. But when we choose to live and rely upon the Lord and the strength that He gives us, that's going to be the place, that's going to be the right place every time. When you're going through that sin, I will take care of this. I'm going to defeat this. I'm going to beat this. This time, I'm going to succeed. If you're not relying upon the Lord and His strength, you are going to go right back to that sin over and over and over again. I am going to read the Word today and every day this week. And I'm gonna love the Word, and I'm going to make sure that I just keep this a priority this week and then next week. And then I'm gonna do great this time. Last time was a little tough. Things got weird. You know, I had some, you know, too many things got crazy in life. But this time I'm gonna do it. And we're not relying upon His strength. Day two, dust is going to accumulate again. You're going to struggle. Because you're not relying upon the Lord. You're not relying upon His strength. Pray that prayer this week. Lord, allow me to see. Open my eyes for my need for You. Third, ask God to open your eyes for the needs around you. If you'd open up to Matthew chapter 25, we're going to read a lengthy passage here, verses 31 through 46. It says this, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on the right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer Him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The King will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.' Then He will say to those on the left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me.' They will also answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?' He will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me.' Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." There are so many needs around us, right? Everywhere. In our own church body, needs upon needs upon needs. People who are hurting, people who are depressed, who are scared, who are lonely, who are sick. Needs upon needs upon needs. A family that's going to join our congregation very soon who's driving this way, the Duncan family. They're going to have great, great needs. Their kids are going into a new school system for a month and a half, right? The parents are coming, and John, Pastor John, is going to lead this congregation, and the needs are going to be great right here, right in front of us. Needs everywhere. And sometimes what ends up happening, a couple of things that end up happening. One is we're naturally selfish people. And so we kind of seek to meet our own needs before we even consider the needs of anyone else, right? We got our own stuff that we need to deal with, and so let's take care of me first, and then we might be able to get to the other needs around me. Another thing that might happen is you might get so overwhelmed by all the needs that there are that you kind of put blinders on, and you don't want to see them because it's just overwhelming, and you think, I can't solve each problem and each need that there is, and therefore I'm not going to meet any needs. And then you all of a sudden get used to walking through life not seeing the needs around you because you're so focused on your own needs and you don't want to be overwhelmed by the needs around. So you kind of you have blinders on and you just go forward and push forward and push forward. And maybe it's because you are one of the people that is in desperate need of help at this moment, and you feel like, how can I do anything to help when I'm the one in need of that help at this moment? Because I am going through some hard, hard, hard times. There are needs everywhere. Are we seeing the needs around us? Are we helping those in need? Or are we putting them to the side? We need to ask God that He would open our eyes to helping people around us, to seeing those needs and meeting those needs. I think of Fred. For those of you who don't know, one of our amazing deacons, Fred, is in the hospital. He has leukemia, and it's just been a big struggle for their family this past month. And the church has been sending people to his bedside, to talk with him, to encourage him, to love him, to meet that need, right? And that's what it's all about. Loving on people. Encouraging them. And if you didn't get that, one of the updates, that act, the willingness to see a need and meeting that need of loving on Fred and his family, well, his siblings have been impacted by you going to visit him and loving on him and encouraging him. And so that we would continue to do that with Fred, but the countless other needs that are around us. They're everywhere. And a lot of times we don't notice because we don't ask, because we're not looking for them, because we're not listening, because we're not asking God to open our eyes to see those needs around us. Because we can have a best friend here and not know what they're going through. And there could be great needs for them, and because we just choose to be blind to it and like life easier, we don't ask. There could be a newcomer here for the first time today and absolutely terrified because they're around a bunch of people they don't know. Meet a need. Talk with them after the service. Make sure they don't leave this church without knowing that they've been noticed, that you care about them, that you want them to know that this is a place where we care, where we love. Pray right now where you're sitting that God would open to your eyes if there's someone that's new that you need to talk to today. If there's someone that's hurting that you need to talk with today and listen to. Someone in pain that you need to talk with and listen to. Someone who you haven't talked with in a long time and you need some updates. Who is God going to put in front of you and open your eyes to even this day before you leave? And for some of you, it's you're going through that. Reach out for that help. Be willing to open up. Be willing to be vulnerable in this moment. To allow this body, this church, to be one that takes care of one another and cares for our world and the people in our world, not neglecting. We need to realize and understand we need God's help to open our eyes to the needs around us. And finally, ask God to open your eyes for the lost. Ask God to open your eyes for the lost. Acts chapter 26, verses 12 through 18. This is Paul speaking. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Is it hard for you to kick against the goads?" Then I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," the Lord replied. "Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn from them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Here's Saul on the road to Damascus, and what needed to happen for him to see? He had to be blinded. Saul is blinded as Jesus in this bright light comes before him, says, "Why are you persecuting me? This is the truth. I am real. You need to follow me." And he says, "I have a mission for you." And his mission is seen here, and it's to open, I'm sending you to them to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That's our mission, church. We've been going through this through our Grow Group classes, through Go Fish, people in our lives that need Jesus, the lost around us who do not yet have a relationship with Him and need Him, to be able to share the truth in love with them, to not be afraid, but to understand how important it is for the lost to hear the truth, and not to be ashamed of the gospel, but to make sure that we are sharing it with those that are in our lives, with your coworkers, with your friends, with your families, with your neighbors. Stop neglecting to share His good news, whatever the reasons you put, whatever they are. Let's stop that. We don't need that. We need so badly to ask God to give us that strength to see the lost, to open our eyes to them and their needs for the good news, that they could be saved by grace, that they could be forgiven of their sins if they put their faith and trust in Him. Who are those people? Who are those people that you're going to invite to our Easter service? Who are those people that you're going to have those conversations with as the weather gets nicer and you actually can go outside your front door and not go right back inside 10 seconds later because you're an icicle? We're getting warmer weather eventually. I know it's supposed to maybe snow on Friday, but you know what? Hopefully not. But there are people around us, and we're asking God to open our eyes to the needs. Well, the greatest need that we have is our need for a Savior. That is the greatest need that there is in this world. And there are so many people who are lost, who, when it comes to the magic eye, they cannot see it. They cannot see the picture. They don't know what's there. They don't clearly see their need for Jesus. And they are blinded, That's all they see. Nothing. Who here was able to see it? And what was there? What was there? Anyone? The cross. Was anyone on the cross? Jesus on the cross. Like, could you see anything else there? There's more stuff there, but it's kind of hard on that little piece of paper. There was a soldier, right, who was at the bottom, you know, with the spear, right? And so here's our Savior on the cross. Some of you can't see it. You're like, really? Are you sure? It's there. And not only is it there, but it jumps out at you. And when you finally, right, when the Spirit moves and you're finally able to see clearly what Jesus Christ has done for you, all of a sudden it just pops out. And you're able to see what your Savior has done for you. Dying upon the cross for your sins, that we would not keep that to ourselves, but we would go and allow people and share with people and tell people, this is the truth. This is real. I have life because of Jesus. You can have life because of Jesus as well. Who are those people? If you have not yet placed people in your life that you are praying for each and every day, that you are sharing the good news with, that you are making sure that you're inviting here, if those people, if you don't have that list, make that list now. There are people who are lost in need of a Savior. How could we ever keep that from them? Ask God to open your eyes for the needs of the lost, to have that heart for them, the same heart that He has for them, and then amazing things will happen. You know, I have all these 4 points here, and these are just the tip of the iceberg. Right? You can ask God to open your eyes to so many things. The forgiveness that you need to give someone. Right? The joy that you need to have. Open your eyes to what you can be thankful for. Like, countless things. But I want to encourage you, pray these prayers that God would open your eyes to these needs. That you would have joy as you open His Word and as He speaks to you through His Word. That you would understand your need for Him. Your need to rely upon Him, and that He would open your eyes to those areas that you are keeping to yourself. That your eyes would be open to the needs that He desires for you to meet this week. Of those people that are around you. Maybe it's signing up to visit Fred this week. Maybe it's, you know, loving on someone, giving a phone call to someone you haven't talked to in a while. And how are you? What's going on? Maybe it's helping the Duncans move in when they move into their house. I don't know the exact date, but we'll let you know. We got all these needs. Are we going to meet them? And then opening our eyes to the lost. So important. And my question for you is, do you want your eyes to be opened? If you do, you need to pray to God these prayers. And He will answer them. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. He wants us. Right? He wants us to have incredible joy in His Word. Right? He wants us to see needs around us. He wants us to have a heart for the lost. Let us pray these prayers and not try to do it in our own effort, in our own power, but realize that the Lord will give us the strength when we ask Him. And He'll open our eyes when we ask Him to love on this world, to invest in this world, to draw closer to Him, and to live for Him. Let's pray. Lord, we just come before you this morning. I do pray that each and every one of us would take this call seriously. Lord, that we would understand that our strength comes from you. And Lord, I pray for those who have not yet seen you, who don't quite believe. Lord, who are still lost. Lord, I pray for them that they may sense your presence this morning, Lord, that you would put someone in their life to talk with this morning, a friend, the person sitting next to them, Lord. And Lord, that they would be bold enough to share your good news. Lord, to share your light with all joy. Lord, we love you, and I pray that we would be committed to you, and Lord, that you would give us the strength this week to follow you wholeheartedly. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.